This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Hello, I'm Katia Adler, host of the Global Story podcast from the BBC. Each weekday, we break down one big news story with fresh perspectives from journalists around the world. From artificial intelligence to divisive politics tearing our societies apart. From the movements of money and markets to the human stories that touch our lives. We bring you in-depth insights from across the BBC and beyond. Listen to The Global Story wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, the programme that investigates the creative process. My name is Mark Reed, and for the last 15 years, I've worked on an international film education programme called Le Cinéma Sentin de Jeunesse. It runs in 15 countries around the world, although it's originated and it's based in France. Every year, thousands of people make films that explore a specific question of cinema. Now, I'm quite an experienced film educator, and this programme is unlike anything else I've worked on.
So, at the end of the race, the winner, they put a loud music on and the horse should dance.
The horse dances.
Yeah. The horse dance.
Dancing horse.
Can you imagine? That will be very cinematic, right? What do you think? Should we?
This year, for the first time in 29 years, we're all making documentaries that explore film's relationship with the other. Being French, the questions are quite intellectual. We're joining the programme in February, where I'm visiting a school in a little village in Bulgaria called Domanci, which is about 200 kilometres from the capital, Sofia. The children in this school make beautiful, distinctive films, and for a long time I've wanted to come and see where and how they do it. So after a couple of hours drive in a minibus, we arrive at the Neofit Rilski High School, where we're met by Daniel Simeonov, their inspirational teacher.
Officially, I'm not from Dermanti, I'm from the village, which is 7 kilometers down the road, but yeah, I got stuck here somehow, I don't know how.
Daniel studied at the London School of Economics, but about 10 years ago, he moved back home, where he now lives with his parents, doing this remarkable thing in a remote school, where, as he says, they normally study agriculture and sewing. He's a kind of one-man cultural infrastructure for the arts, running film screenings, art and photography classes around nearby villages.
You will see now my 7th graders. They're from the innovative class and they've been doing cinema in many different forms since their 3rd grade, right? There's a classroom outside. Let's go inside and then you can walk around to put your stuff, whatever.
We're actually in the cinema classroom, big screen at the far end, little library of film books, and then lots and lots of photographs, either stills from famous films or I think some Polaroids they've taken of their own filmmaking exercises. It's really a really beautiful collage of materials.
But before we get down to work, we're presented with cupcakes with the name of our programme, Cinéma Sentin de Jeunesse, or CCAJ, written on the top in icing.
You have to try all of this because it's homemade.
Homemade?
Homemade. This is my mother's. It's a sweet thing, which is with pumpkin. This is a colleague of mine that made this cake, and I was thinking about doing one with the Pompidou logo, but it was too late. It was going to be...
Thank you very much.
Take a bite, whatever, because I know you've been travelling. Eat some.
We take Daniel's advice and eat the cakes. And then we meet filmmaker Maria Dasheva, who's been attached to the project here in Domanci for the last 3 years. Every school that takes part in CCAJ has a filmmaker working with them.
They were doing one exercise for the midterm 3 years ago, and the topic in that year was motifs. So we were shooting in one abandoned school, the windows, the stairs, and I noticed how sensitive they are. They were just staying there, listening, and then deciding where to put the camera. They were the one leading the process, and they were so passionate about making storyboards. No one told them, this frame, you put this frame, and you make this editing connection that you usually learn when you go to university.
Yeah. Children aren't used to making judgments without rules in school. The rules are all there. They have to follow the rules. But here, you're saying that they have to learn to make their own judgments about what seems to be the best combination of picture and sound and the best rhythm of editing without being taught these are the rules of editing. That's really unusual.
Their point of view to life is different. One of the boys in the class, the most shy boy, when he writes or when he expresses him, even with a single word, he's so to the point that I can...
And have you watched that develop, him change
yes,
over time?
Yes, they changed. Because a lot of them, they're coming from difficulties in the families, families that are separated, a lot of their relatives live abroad. So they need, like, between them, a stable connection, the school, and cinema is their family. At one moment, when you're a teenager, maybe the main thing is not to feel alone. And even if they don't continue to feel like a cinema team, they are a team. Sometimes I'm saying to Daniel, they don't need us. Once Dori, she gave us advice, it was the previous year, and she said, can I give you an advice? And we were, what? Can we go slower?
Yes,
she was 12. Can we go slower? You are so much in a rush that you want to give us so much information. We want to slow down. We'll have enough time to do everything. So we were really grateful to this advice because we found that they need time to go through with their own rhythm, not our rhythm.
I'm just trying to think of an example, where, you know, a situation where a child in a class would say to their teacher, can I give you some advice about how you're teaching us? So the power relation changes, or the children have more agency, or they have more sense of what matters to them, and they feel able to express it. Mm-hmm.
And more they share some things that interest them and some problems they have. They start to feel you part of their life.
Yeah.
This is the difference, because this school is different from the other schools. Yeah. They are there the whole day. It's really, the school is their family also. It's something that is very inspiring, the whole village. Every time when I go somewhere with them, it's this, oh, you're shooting again. Good luck.
On the day I visit, the pupils are planning the film that they're going to enter for this year's final screening in Lisbon, which will essentially be a five-day festival of documentaries made by children from Japan to Brazil, taking in South Africa and half a dozen European countries on the way.
There's a horse market in the village, which happens every Sunday. I didn't know about that. So yesterday we were brainstorming ideas what our final film should be. And I said, why don't we go and shoot what's going on at the horse market every Sunday? We're going to talk about this, of course. If you have any ideas, feel free to give us ideas. But there's a... Кажи какво се ставаше на конския пазар, Сиси. So the winner, there's also a race or some kind of race. There is a big celebration of the... how is it called? Как се казваше? Кушия, which is... Okay, извинявай. Кажи. So at the end of the race, the winner... They put a loud music on and the horse should dance.
The horse dances.
Yeah. The horse dance.
The dancing horse.
Can you imagine? That will be very cinematic, right? What do you think? Should we? Yeah. And we can go ice. Мариел, как ще го направим? Всяка седмица ли е това?
Всяка неделя.
Добре, и как ще го направим това? Трябва да ходим да снимаме.
На групички.
Примерно един-два часа отиват и снимат.
Oh, another one was to shoot the market. Every Thursday there is a market here. The problem with the market... Какъв е проблема с пазара да го снимам? It's Thursday. And why is that? Защо е проблем?
Защото сме на училище.
They are at school and they have classes. So it's only Thursday in the morning from, let's say, 8 until 11.
But you can't get released to make
a film? So the principal is here. Maybe we should ask him.
We should ask him.
The principal's sitting at the back and she's very quiet.
It's the time for the BBC.
Yeah, it's right. She has to say yes because she's on radio.
Now we're going to have to wait and see whether the pupils are allowed to get out of school to make this film. The next day we're back in Sofia to watch some of the children's preparatory films, their little exercises. This year we've made some 1 minute Lumiere films, based on the films of the Lumiere brothers 125 years ago, and some longer films looking at how a place or a job or a group of people changes over time. A longer film here means maybe 3 or 4 minutes. And today, we'll also be watching exercises from France, Germany, South Africa, Finland, and the UK, and a couple of the films made by the pupils in Domancy. We start with their film about their school bus.
They had two crews, shooting one on the bus and one following in Maria's dad's car. They had a couple of children who were filming the outside of the school bus. With some lovely images, really. One of the girls who's travelling to school draws a little heart on the steam of the inside, on the window of the inside of the bus, which keeps cutting back to. And lots of driving through snow-covered roads. So Daniel said they have more than an hour's worth of material. It's a 50-minute journey. And they've edited it into 3 minutes or so, 3 or 4 minutes. And this being one of the kind of fundamental things that you learn about documentary is the ratio of what you shoot to what the final product is. And so this is a great opportunity for children, young people, to learn that discipline of how you choose what you want the focus to be, what your through line is going to be, what your story is. How do you make meaning out of a great mass of material? How do you create a single narrative out of all of the multiple possible perspectives and presentations and stories you could get out of an hour's worth of material? This isn't something that a standard curriculum, a school curriculum, ever allows you to do.
This meeting, actually pretty much the whole programme, was organised by Nathalie Bourgeois, who started Cinéma Sentant de Jeunesse in 1995 when she was at the Cinémathèque Française, and she and a group of colleagues wanted to mark the centenary of cinema.
When I began to work at the French Cinémathèque and to be at the head of an education department, I had no team, and it was really important to work with others and not to be lonely. And so I knew other people who were working in archives or associations or even filmmaker or teacher, and we wanted to work together. I think for the anniversary, it was really interesting to have the reaction of young people. There was really some help from the Festival of Cannes, and we could present the film at Cannes.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Wow. Yeah. And then the film travelled in festivals, and so people heard about Sentant de Jeunesse. And on our side, we said, we can't stop now, because it's not only about anniversary. It's more about working together in a network, trying new things with students to make them discover cinema and for us to think about pedagogy. So it was a starting point.
And to bring together schools across the world, they were all given the same challenge, to follow a so-called question of cinema, a different one every year. Questions like, why move the camera? Or how do filmmakers use motifs like mirrors, staircases and trees in their films? How do they manipulate time? The point is that all these schools from around the world are working on the same challenges. And the challenge this year is called Le geste documentaire, filmer l'autre, filming the other. Nathalie explains to me what this means in practice.
Just try to imagine your own rules this year. And some of them came and told me, oh, it's really the most difficult year. Because we have to
find our own rules, find our own way.
And also because it's really relaying on the curiosity and the desire of the students. From children, there are other images. There are things you never see. So it's not the same kind of images. There is something here that is really interesting.
The next film by the pupils from Domazzi is a short about a group of women in a sewing factory. And again, it's about 3 minutes long, and it's following a section of their day.
When they talked to the seamstress, she said, you have to love what you make, otherwise there's no point. As she's kind of sewing through, I don't know, big sheet looks like pillowcases, wasn't it? She was sewing.
We are taking part of this project since 10 years. And I really enjoy it. It's my favorite class in school.
Watching the films with me is Julia Cravani, who teaches at a school in Berlin.
And we get really close to the students. And yeah, I see that they also really like it. They can tell personal things which they never could do in class. It's kind of adventure for the students and also for us. It's unforgettable. Yeah,
it's fantastic. And who's your filmmaker that you work with?
Yeah, my filmmaker is Ralf Etter. He's from Switzerland. And I really also enjoy teaching together because normally I have to teach on my own.
What have you got to show from the students today? What are you going to show us?
Today we are going to show a small film about a little fox who was lost in a garden. And then we are showing workers sorting out grasses at the North Sea in the dunes. Then they cut off the heads, just film the hands and what they were doing during this work.
Well, that's quite nice, though, isn't it? Did the people ask for their heads to be cut off? Was that deliberate so they couldn't be recognised?
No, the people told that they don't want to be seen, just their work.
Yeah.
And what? So they cut it off their heads.
Hello, I'm Katia Adler, host of the Global Story podcast from the BBC. Each weekday, we break down one big news story with fresh perspectives from journalists around the world. From artificial intelligence to divisive politics tearing our societies apart. From the movements of money and markets to the human stories that touch our lives, we bring you in-depth insights from across the BBC and beyond. Listen to the Global Story wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Mark Reed, and I'm spending 6 months following a group of young filmmakers from a school in rural Bulgaria, as part of a programme called Le Cinéma Santon de Jeunesse. I meet up with them again in June in Lisbon.
We are now just coming into, with lots and lots of children. Bonjour. Into the Cinemateca Portuguesa. Hello, Teresa. Hello. And I'm just looking for our Bulgarian friends from Domazzi. Get a sense of what their film's going to be about. It's quite a rabbit warren here. Lots of corridors through dark, cavernous atriums. I'm going against the tide here.
I finally meet up with Maria Dasheva again, the filmmaker who works with the children from Domazzi.
Bom dia.
Bom dia. That's our Portuguese done. When we had that conversation in February, you were thinking of making a film about the horse market.
Yeah.
But I hear you haven't made a film about the horse market. What have you done in between?
Actually, they made a film for the local market in the village. The first time they went, they said, okay, let's go and just see the place. Because it was pouring, it was raining a lot.
Yes.
It was late March or beginning of April. So it was really heavy rain, and they didn't expect people will be there, but everyone was there.
Oh, really?
And actually, it was during the hours, during their school program, so they have classes in literature.
Right.
And this year is very important for them. They're in the seventh grade. The literature is an exam, very tough exam. Okay. It was a deal with their teacher in literature to allow two students per time to go to the market to make the movie.
That's flexible.
And it was really nice decision that they went in pairs to work, because in documentary you don't need a lot of people. They maybe during the spring vacation they went, all of them, with two cameras. All the market knows, and they are really excited that those the movie they were making there will go to Lisbon with them, and they will present.
That's fantastic.
Their film is called Thursday. That's the day of the week their village market is held, and they've shot it over lots of Thursdays, but edited it to tell the story of one market day in particular, from arriving at first light to setting up the stalls, chatting, selling, taking a break, and then taking it all down and packing it away at the end of the day. It's patient and observant and generous. A lovely example of filming something that's very familiar to you, but finding the strangeness, the otherness in it, just by looking closely through the lens of a camera. After the film, we had the Q&A. Most of the questions are being asked by children in the audience who are also filmmakers. In a way, this is the point of CCAJ. Not just the films themselves, but the conversations about the films.
Hello, I'm Suhei from Japan, and I'd like to know, I was very impressed how the people were natural on the scenery.
Donc la question c'est, bonjour, je viens du Japon, j'ai été très impressionnée par la façon dont les personnes se comportaient de manière tout à fait naturelle.
So, we've just had a question in Japanese translated into English, into Bulgarian, and the whole thing just explained back in French.
So at the end of the movie, it's raining. How did you put your camera so that your cameras didn't get wet?
The five young people, there's one guy and four quite formidable young women, and they've just made him answer this question. He's quite reluctant, but he's done a good job.
Afterwards, I go to talk to the young Bulgarian filmmakers, and Daniel helps with translating.
I just wanted to say, I loved your film. Everybody loved your film. Did you learn something new, maybe? Today, because it's the first time you've seen your film on a big screen.
Научихте ли нещо ново за филма си?
Има много повече работи, които не забелязваме, а после като гледаме на големия екран, има много грешки, които сме допускали.
So they said that the thing is with the bigger screen, they are now able to see a lot more mistakes in the editing that they saw that what they were not able to see during the editing, and it's a little bit for them.
But only you know those mistakes. Nobody
Само вие ги знаете тия грешки, никой не ги знае. So they said that we had a huge fight about the last shot of the film. There was a puddle of water with raindrops in it, and they were very determined that that's not the way they want to end. They wanted this very arty, you know, ending. So there was a fight. There was a fight of the shot. It was a proper fight. And then the end, we didn't win. They won. And how many endings we did? Oh, she wanted to say something very important. Last year was 95% of the movie was edited by them.
Yeah.
This year was 99%. Oh, also, they decided... Вие ли решихте къде ще... When the title will appear. I wanted to be on a black kind of blank. They said, no, it's going to appear on the first shot here. So it's all them. All these decisions are theirs. Yeah. And yeah, the editing they really want to emphasize on that was there.
Your filmmakers. So this is these are
We gave
choices.
Them six endings. We suggested six endings, right? But they said, this is our ending.
For many years, this programme was hosted by the Cinémathèque Française in Paris. But a few years ago, it was cut loose, and ever since has had to rely on its own resources. We've had European funding, but that comes to an end in December 2024. After 29 years, it desperately needs continuity funding, if only to see us through our 30th year. And now we're quite reliant on and very grateful for funding from a German bank.
We look especially for European project because we think Europe is very important, and we especially need to look for the young people because they are our future.
This is Sonia Peichel, who leads the bank's charitable foundation.
This project is just great because it brings the children together, and this through a medium that they all like, yeah, and which is very important for the future.
So tell us something about the power and the potential of cinema as you see it, to support the foundation's mission to bring about social change. What can cinema do? What have you seen this morning that gives you hope for what cinema can do?
What I've seen through a couple of movies today is that the children could also learn in school to bring the movies further, to do lobbying with them, yeah, to work with the city, to change the situations if they have shown us, areas which are not so nice in their city and so on. I think those topics are much more important to learn in school than things, you know, like what is the highest mountain, because today we have Google and they don't need to learn that in school anymore, is my opinion.
What do you feel that they're learning? I mean, it's a really interesting difference between knowing things, you know, which Google knows, you don't need to know, and the kinds of knowledge or understanding that children seem to get from making films. Can you see how it's changing the way that they see things in the world, the way that they know things about the world?
Yeah, I think they grow much more. I mean, I've also three sons which are in school, you know, and are super bored, and I would love that they have a project like this as well, because the normal school doesn't have so many projects like this, yeah? Just when there are foundations or there are pilots that they try and so on. And I mean, it gives them the chance to discuss and to come to a conclusion. And this is what they normally not have in school. And that would be so important for our future.
We ended on a high note with hundreds of children and young people on a sunny day in Lisbon celebrating the art of cinema. You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, which was presented by me, Mark Reed, and produced by Stephen Hughes.
Hello, I'm Katia Adler, host of the Global Story podcast from the BBC. Each weekday, we break down one big news story with fresh perspectives from journalists around the world. From artificial intelligence to divisive politics tearing our societies apart. From the movements of money and markets to the human stories that touch our lives. We bring you in-depth insights from across the BBC and beyond. Listen to the Global Story wherever you get your BBC podcasts.